You have just tuned in to a Spirited Exchange Radio with me, Carrie Kadambi, for Evolution of the Modern Mind. Are you ready to awaken to your divine and true potential? We bring you inspirational stories and valuable resources to educate and motivate inspired changemakers. Gain tools and insights to transform limiting beliefs. Connect with your divine wisdom for an inspired and purposeful life of love in action. Here we go. A Spirited Exchange Radio starts now. Welcome everyone out there in listener land. I'm Carrie Kadambi and you're listening to A Spirited Exchange on Transformation Talk Radio. Each second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on A Spirited Exchange, I bring you inspiring guests, engaging in stimulating and mind-opening discussions, helping you to awaken, heal, and reveal your highest purpose. Stay with us for the next hour for an engaging conversation about how to use Oracle cards as a path to enhance self-development. Today's guest is Amanda Lynette Meter, a contemporary writer and educator on the spirit world and spiritual arts. Amanda currently shares her craft through her website blog, ebooks, e-courses, and a monthly education series called the Membership Program. She likes to link natural wellness, science, and spirituality together to help educate others in a thought-provoking, informative, and fun way. Join us for a fascinating exploration of the uses and benefits of Oracle cards. We'll talk about how to use Oracle cards to validate your intuition, expand your intuitive abilities, and enhance your self-development. Amanda will also walk us through the steps of how to do a mini card pull using Oracle cards. Let's welcome Amanda Lynette Meter to A Spirited Exchange. Hello, Amanda.
Hello, Carrie, and thank you for having me, and hello, everybody out in listener land. It's really great to be here.
Great, thank you. Well, I'm looking forward to this. I personally love Oracle cards, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say about using them in the way that you use them. So before we dive into this topic of Oracle cards, I'm curious, Amanda, what led you in this direction? How did you become interested in things metaphysical? Was there something you were exposed to or experienced as a child?
Yeah, so as a child, I had a life that was somewhat open to the metaphysical. I had a lot of dreams. Sometimes those dreams would be somewhat prophetic. And I would sometimes as a kid, I would see those in the spirit world. And my mother was always very supportive of this, very open to this. And then also as a child, I moved around a lot. And each time I moved to a new town, you know, for my father's job, what would happen is I would get invited to the different spiritual events or celebrations of people in the area. And it always just excited me, the joining of spiritual experiences and exciting experiences and all the celebratory events out there that different spiritual groups have. I was always able to go to those. My dream life was pretty active as a child. I tended to have, you know, spirit guides. I didn't know it at the time, but spirit guides visit me as a kid. And then later on, I realized what that was. And I had a supportive mother, and my father's side, they were very much into the lore of their home country. They're from Eastern Europe. They're from Romania. So they were very kind of into the lore of it, but wanting to keep it quiet. So there was kind of this dichotomy growing up as a kid where my mother was super supportive and my father's side embraced the lore, but also wanted to keep it hidden. And so it made it so that it was always a little bit taboo. And I think that that part of the taboo-ness of like the visions of the dreams is kind of what kept me engaged as a child. And then, you know, growing up and moving into adulthood, I went pretty much a normal path. I went into college. I went into the natural sciences. I was really interested in the environment, protecting waterways, protecting natural resources. And then I began teaching in the natural resources field. I was always holding some sort of teaching job in environmental education, natural sciences, wildlife education, all these different like interpretation types of jobs for the natural world. Then I went to graduate school, and it was in graduate school where I started in the evenings exploring some more of the psychic experiences that I had as a kid. And it was during that exploration in graduate school when I was going to psychic classes and psychic bookstores in the evenings that I really started to say, okay, maybe there's something into this stuff of my childhood. and maybe I should look a little bit more into this and see if there's something there. So through the encouragement of friends and teachers, I decided to do like 100 readings or so to kind of test my abilities to see, okay, can I control these dreams? Can I control these visions? Can I manage them? And I did 100 or so readings, 100 interactions where I was bringing through spirit, bringing through clairvoyant visions, using oracle decks, pendulums, things like that. And from that experience, you know, I had so many validating moments and feedback that everything just kind of unfurled from there. So there were doors opened for me in graduate school, and I kind of just kept saying yes from that point forward. Would you like to do this? Yes. You know, would you like this opportunity? Yes. And, you know, 8 years later or so, here we are today.
My goodness. So it's very interesting that as a young child, you were already experiencing things. You mentioned like prophetic dreams, but were you actually seeing spirit, and were you able to talk to either of your parents about that? And how was that?
Yes. So I was seeing spirit as a child. Sometimes I would see them standing at my bedroom door. Sometimes I would see them standing outside my bedroom window. Sometimes I would see them. We lived in old houses when I was growing up. So, with old houses, you're in old neighborhoods usually. So as a kid, sometimes I would see what I always thought were apparitions in windows. And I would talk to my parents about them. I would talk to my mom primarily about it. And she would say, you know, these things exist, you know, they're out there, and really try to level out the emotions of it, you know, not make it so that I felt scared or afraid or anything like that. And a lot of times I would see the spirits, you know, when I'd also wake up from dreams. And when I was a little kid, I remember talking about these, like waking up from the dream, seeing a spirit as dreaming while you were awake is how I would describe it. I feel like I'm dreaming while I'm awake. I would see holographic things like the way you do when you're dreaming, but with my eyes open. And they were more just curious, more don't talk about it at school, but these things exist. And it was really kind of left at the door from there. Like these things exist, they're real. And it really didn't get into talking about too much about, you know, interacting with the spirits or engaging with them or asking them any type of question or anything like that until I was probably 27 or 28. And that kind of door was closed. And around that time is when I said, well, maybe these spirits have something to say, you know, maybe they have messages for people. Maybe there's a reason they're standing here.
There's a reason for this ability to notice and talk. And
Yeah. I think I was just, had quiet time. I was meditating a lot. I had space. And it was, you know, during that time, 27 to 28, when I was like, all right, you know, it's safe for me to look deeper into this. And my mother was one of the ones that first was like, yes, yes, this is exciting. You know, go ahead and do it. I remember her and my aunt and others were some of my first clients even. Mm-hmm. So, it was something that, you know, we talked about, but also was something that was just kind of tempered with, you know, be careful what other people know about this. You know, you don't know what other people's perceptions are. Now, today, people's perceptions are changing and more people are becoming open. So,
right.
You know, it's more free to discuss even now.
Right. Yeah. That's lovely that you weren't necessarily discouraged. You were encouraged and had some help. Did you find that other family members had the abilities that you were showing as a child?
Yes. Yeah. There are other family members of mine that have similar type abilities. In the story of my own family, I know that with the spiritual abilities, it comes down from my father's side. And my father talked about other relatives having and my grandmother relatives beyond that. I do have a sister who has the ability to see things clairvoyantly and is very, very sensitive. She's extremely empathetic. One of her main abilities is clairsentience. And then I also have, and my mother, again, who I mentioned, she's a very, very, very talented tarot reader. So she also has an ability really to read what are called inductive signs or inductive divination. She's very, very good at reading physical signs. So there's a little bit of family support and in addition to family abilities that are kind of around and, you know, supporting everything that I do on the website.
Yeah, that's fabulous. A lot of people, you know, don't have that background of family that's, you know, either supportive of it or understanding of it. But that doesn't mean, at least this is what I believe, and maybe you can chime in too on what your thoughts are, that people don't have to necessarily be born with these gifts to learn how to use the divination tools. Would you feel that's accurate?
Yeah, I'd feel that's accurate. And you don't even have to like have conscious awareness of like all of the intuitive abilities when you start to begin, you know, delving into the different intuitive arts that exist, divination cards, oracle cards being one of them. I think that having a willingness or an interest to begin is usually like an inkling or a sign that there's talent there, you know, and there's, right, there are talents there. So I think that working with oracle cards is like a skill you can practice. And with practice, you can develop and flex the different abilities that support, you know, oracle card work, whether it's clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairaudience, claircognizance, any one of those. And a lot of people find that when they start like opening up or stepping into the intuitive arts or the spiritual arts or those practices, that they can start to connect the dots of things that happened in the past. So they may even notice or realize, you know, things that happened in their childhood or in their teens or in their 20s that kind of was a hint at some of the abilities that they may notice in their spiritual awakening. So,
I totally agree. I mean, personally, I've had that experience where some, you know, I'd ask a question kind of rhetorically, not like thinking I was asking anybody, and an answer would come in, and it was something that wasn't from my own knowledge. And it was only much later when I started becoming interested in the metaphysical and studying about spirit and stuff that I realized, oh, that was probably where it came from, because it was definitely from outside of me. But yeah, I believe that we can all develop these skills. We don't necessarily have to like be born knowing that we, you know, we're able to experience all this at a very young age. But I also noticed you talked about your education is more in the sciences. So it's very interesting that you have this scientific background. And I imagine that you apply it in some ways to this other non-science field that you're in.
Yeah. The scientific background, which I love the sciences, all of them, particularly the natural sciences and the biological sciences. But one of the ways that you can use the science background to apply it to the intuitive world, I feel, is getting validation and proof, you know, keeping a log, you know, is one of the things I learned from the sciences, like just keeping a record or a log of the different experiences that you have can be really helpful with getting proof, getting validation, and from there, gaining confidence that your psychic abilities do work, your intuitive abilities do work, you can trust your intuitions, you can trust your hunches. So I think that the scientific background really helped with record keeping. And from the record keeping, you start to trust yourself more. And then when you start to trust yourself more, you can then develop more and more of the different like spiritual skills that are out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. So we're going to be talking a little more about like oracle cards. I don't know if you want to talk about how you first began using an oracle card or how you first found a deck.
Yeah. So with oracle cards are one of my personal hobbies. I really like collecting them. I really like collecting the different divination decks and learning about all the different kinds out there, which we'll talk about more later. My first deck came from a bookstore in Atlanta, Georgia called the Phoenix and Dragon, or the Phoenix and Dragon bookstore in Atlanta. And it was actually a goddess oracle card deck. And I still have one of the main cards right in my desk drawer that helps keep me motivated and helps keep me going. So I still have a few of the pieces from that first deck in and around for inspiration. But yeah, my first deck came from down south in Atlanta. And it was just such a cool bookstore. And, you know, it brought me, you know, all these other decks that I now have in my collection.
Yeah, it's, they're fabulous. We can go into a little more detail on all those decks. But yeah, metaphysical bookstores are a great place to find them. And of course, there's other places too, and even just online. And there's lots of different types of decks. But We're going to take a short break, and I want to let people know that we'll be coming right back. You're listening to A Spirited Exchange with me, host Carrie Kadambi, and today's guest, Amanda Lynette Meter. And when we return, we'll dive into what exactly Oracle cards are and how they can help you and how you can use them. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to The Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit NancyLandrum.com.
Hello, we're back on A Spirited Exchange with me, host Carrie Kadambi, and today's guest, Amanda Lynette Meter. And in this episode of Spirit Speaks, we're talking about using oracle cards as a way to validate your intuition, expand intuitive abilities, and enhance your self-development. But before we dive into the juicy details of how to use oracle cards, I want to make sure that our listeners know how to contact you, Amanda. Could you please give us your contact information? And I think you have an offering as well.
Yeah, I do. Thank you, Carrie. And if you would like to visit me or learn more from me or get in touch with me off of this show, please find me at www.AmandaLynette.com. At the website, you can scroll to the footer, grab an opt-in there. I have a free gift for everybody listening today. It is a higher self welcome meditation and transcript. The meditation is designed to call in your higher self, your soul self, your spirit. It's a great one to do before using oracle cards or calling in spirit or calling in any intuitive reading that you're going to be doing or any intuitive card pulling, which we'll be talking about how to do later.
That's great. Thank you, Amanda. Yes, meditations are a super way to get yourself all ready to do any kind of communication with spirit. So that's beautiful. Thank you. So it's possible that some of our listeners today may not be familiar with what oracle cards are. So we are going to start talking about that. And I think that most people have heard about tarot cards. So Amanda, I was wondering if you can shed some light on what the difference is between tarot cards and oracle cards. And then also I know before we jump into that, you were asking in our little in-between time about how I found my first oracle deck. And I would have to say that starting in when I was a teenager, I actually had an experience of a tarot reading. And then some years later, became interested in an oracle deck. And I and ended up going to a metaphysical bookstore. We have one in Portland, Oregon called the New Renaissance Bookstore, which is fabulous. And there was one that just kind of really grabbed my interest, and it's called the Psychic Tarot Oracle Deck by John Holland. And it's my go-to. It's got fabulous images, and later on I'll kind of describe how I use those images, and we'll be talking about how oracle decks are a little bit different from a tarot deck. But about a week after I got it, I was on a retreat, and one of the people that I'd met previously through my Reiki group was a tarot card reader, and she showed me how to use the oracle deck, and I had some interesting experiences with it. But that's kind of my story of my start with oracle cards, and I love them. Anyway, so let's talk a little bit about, like, what's the difference between tarot cards and oracle cards?
So tarot cards, which were developed, you know, some say in ancient Egypt, some say back to Europe and in England. And the first most common one that everybody uses today, or that many of the current ones today, are modeled after the Rider-Waite Tarot. It's developed in the early 1900s. And the tarot card in general is, I believe, a 78-card system. And there's 22 major cards, which are like overarching life themes. And then there are 56 minor cards, which are, you know, they're divided up into different houses. So the tarot card deck in general has a little bit of a system to it. And any tarot card deck that you get is usually developed in a systemized format of a certain number of major arcana cards and a certain number of minor arcana cards, all in these, the minor arcana is four different houses, all in these different houses. And it's, in some way, it's very systemized. And because it goes back almost 100 years that we know of to the current one that everybody uses today, the Rider-Waite, which is what many are based on, that we see in contemporary arts, it takes a lot of study. It takes a lot of art history understanding to get to know the different symbols and the images, because the symbols in the tarot deck that a lot of people see today are based on symbols and ideas of what was important in culture 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago, you know, when some of the first playing cards were invented. So it does take a little bit of study, understanding the system, understanding the different cards within that system, understanding the different houses within that system. So tarot can take, like astrology, it can take years to understand, mm-hmm. where a oracle card deck's a little bit more freestyle. I see it as more of a subset of information or divinely downloaded information from a person's spirit guides or a spiritual set of wisdom that was coming through. It's a little bit more open. It's a little bit more flowing. They're very image-based. There's a lot more artistic liberties that you can take with an oracle card deck. So mm-hmm. you see a lot more variety in oracle card decks, you know, in the type of symbolism that they have and the type of messages that are on the cards and in the booklets. And also one of the main differences, I think, between tarot and oracle is that oracle card decks often come with a little book, and tarot card decks usually just come with the deck of cards themselves. And then to study the deck of cards, getting a book separately is usually what you do, a historical text to reference. So mm-hmm. I see oracle cards as almost a little bit more user-friendly, a little bit easier for somebody to pick up and use, you know, and have fun with and play with and get information from, whereas the tarot deck is a little bit more of, it's a commitment. You know, it's definitely a commitment. You want to commit to learn the tarot. It's a system of learning or a system of understanding.
Yeah, I think of the tarot deck as the reader is doing the interpretation for the readee, the person, the client, where the oracle card, I feel like the person who's having the reading done for them can do the interpretation. At least that's how I've used it with some people. You're looking at the image and what it really means to them. So it's calling up things from within them. And that's probably also why I was drawn to the oracle deck, because I wasn't about to spend years investing in learning how to read the tarot decks. And the oracle is, they're just a lot of fun, I think. Very flexible to use.
Very flexible to use, a lot of fun, and very easy for self-reading. you know, doing self readings on, doing self reflection on, doing self development work on, you know, asking self reflective type questions. Tarot decks are really great, I think, for annual spreads or for the, you know, biannual reading or however frequently you get a reading. They can also be very rich in imagery, but the Oracle card decks themselves, I think, are also equally rich in imagery. And I also think that because of the diversity, because there's not one set system for Oracle card decks, they can be very exciting, you know, to open and to use and to get to know. And I often find the fact that people take, you know, 45 cards or 45 paintings or 33 paintings or 60 paintings and condense them into little cards, just they're artistic wonders, I feel, you know, like to take 45 different paintings or however many cards the deck includes, anywhere between usually 40 to 60 is the average for an Oracle card deck, and condense them all into mini interpretive readings. It's just, they're artistic wonders, I feel.
Yeah, they're works of art, I feel. And that's what I really like about the deck that I mentioned. That's my favorite. They're just very rich images, you know, very artistic, and just leave a lot of room for differing interpretations, either by the same person at different times or by different people. You know, they interpret things differently. Whereas my sense of the tarot deck is, you talked about the different suits. I think there's cups, swords, pentacles, and I forget what the other one is, but those have a very specific meaning from my understanding. And it's a much wider field of diversity in the Oracle cards as far as what you're getting with the images.
Yeah. And Oracle cards themselves can still be theme-based. You know, they can still like all be around, like themed around love or themed around mm-hmm. messages from the other side or themed around messages from angels or dolphins or fairies. They can be theme based. So I also think that you can pick them out and kind of use an Oracle card deck if you're specifically working on something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I pulled out some. I have one that's power animal Oracle cards and another one that is the Akashic Tarot Oracle cards. And then of course there's like angel cards. I don't know if that's really Oracle cards, but they're like little messages that you can, you know, pick. But I feel like sometimes, and let's talk maybe a little bit about what the benefits of using an Oracle deck are. I know for me that I'll often, if I just want a quick, like, what is my focus this week, or what message does spirit want me to know about this event that's happening? And I'll pull a card, and it'll often be kind of, it tells me that what I was intuiting is right on. It's a feedback of maybe what I'm already receiving.
Yeah. They can be, Oracle cards can be great physical signs or physical tools that will provide like material feedback for what you're receiving intuitively or spiritually or from your higher self. So they can be great tools to kind of check your intuition, or also to kind of give you like the double cross, you know that you're kind of right on the mark. They work, you know, via the law of attraction. So I often find that they can be great tools for repivoting your energy, you know, like if you need to shift your energy one way or the other, they can be, you know, kind of give you an idea of where your energy is. So if you kind of need a quick energy reading and you pull an Oracle card, depending on what you pull, you can kind of get an idea of kind of where you are. So if you need to rebalance emotionally or spiritually, I think that they can be great tools for that. I think other benefits are that they enhance your clairvoyance and they enhance your ability to see things in a visionary or like metaphorical sight. You can use the images on the card to really kind of gaze off or meditate upon and then see what else comes in meditation or in your third eye, you know, after using the card to meditate on. So they can be like meditation jump off points where you can meditate on the image and see what more you can create.
I like that. Yeah, that's a really beautiful idea. I personally haven't tried that, but I'm going to now. It's great. So what else about, so we talked a little bit about where you can find Oracle decks. What about once you get an Oracle deck? Is there anything that you do to kind of make it yours?
Oh, yeah. So typically when I get an Oracle card deck, I like to lay out all the cards in front of me on the ground. I like to see which ones I'm drawn to the most, you know, because usually that's the card that, you know, is the power card for me in that deck, kind of the one that you're going to relate to the most. And then I like to not shuffle them right away. I like to go through them one by one, maybe before I lay them out on the ground, and go through the first one on top, then the next one, then the third one, because a lot of times Oracle card decks are written almost in story form. So when you shuffle them right away, you lose the story or the spiritual path that the Oracle card author is attempting to show. So I like to just go through them, like the first card, the second card, the third card, touch them, you know, kind of break apart any stickiness from the printing process. And then after that, I set my intention and, you know, what I want the card to be used for is my process. Typically is how I go through them. Sometimes if I'm in the mood, I might sage the deck, but usually I go through them one by one, start to finish, lay them out on the ground, get to know all the images, and then shuffle after that.
Well, that's interesting. I had never heard the idea of it being a story start to finish and to really like and savor each card as you go through the deck. That's a beautiful process.
Some are. And I found that, you know, in the early days, I would just get them right away and break them apart and shuffle them. And then as I started writing blogs on Oracle card decks, I'd go through them one by one. And that's how I started to learn, okay, it looks like there's a journey that's being uncovered here. And then you can kind of, when you then do the readings or do the interpretations with those cards later, you then kind of know the position of that card in between other stages. So you can almost kind of see where you are in the grand journey that those cards are meant to portray.
Wow. Okay. Very interesting. Yeah. And you mentioned you can sage them. I was thinking kind of energetically, I've heard of, you know, holding them between your hands, you know, and just kind of energizing them or, people do different things. Then I think there's the whole thing about after you use them with other people, if there's things that you do to clean the energy of them. I don't know if you do any of that.
A lot of times I do. Sage is good. You mentioned Reiki earlier. If anybody's listening and does Reiki, sending Reiki symbols through the cards is a great way to clear them after you're done using them. Some people will clear them sending Reiki before they open them. But that's just sending light energy through the deck after you use it is a great way to cleanse it. And typically I will just use a symbol, like a healing symbol, a Reiki symbol, a diamond, something like that. A visualized light going through the cards.
Oh, that's great. I like that. Thank you. Well, we have a lot more to talk about with the Oracle deck, but we're going to take a short break. So I want to let everybody know that I'm Carrie Kadambi and you are listening to A Spirited Exchange. And when we return, Amanda is going to share with us how to do a mini card pull. So before we break, Amanda, can you share your contact information again for our listeners?
Sure. For anybody listening who would like to reach out, my contact information can be found at www.amandalynettemater.com. You can also find me at Instagram at the handle The Spirit Woman.
Awesome. Great. Thank you very much. We will be right back.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Thank you for listening in on Eye of Soul Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Psychic Medium Jamie. Return next time for an empowering and yet chilling look into the raw side of spirit. For more information about myself and the Eye of Soul, visit eyeofsoulradio.com. That's Eye of Soul Radio. Eye of Soul Radio, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com. See you next time.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at jenniferbloom.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Hello, we're back on A Spirited Exchange with me, host Carrie Kadambi, and today's guest, Amanda Lynette Meter. In this episode of Spirit Speaks, we're talking about using oracle cards as a way to validate your intuition, expand your intuitive abilities, and enhance your self-development. Before we dive into the remainder of the episode, I want to let you know how you can reach me. You can check out my website, thedivineguidancegift.com, to learn more about how I help clients heal limiting beliefs so they may unlock their full potential and actively live a life, a fulfilling life on purpose. You can sign up to work with me online in private sessions or in a group program. So let's get back to talking about oracle cards. And Amanda, you're going to share with us how to do a mini card pull. So I think the first reason that many turn to divination tools is to get answers. And sometimes they expect it to tell their future. But do you think that the best use of oracle cards is fortune telling about the future, or is there something else that you find them helpful for?
I think that fortune telling is definitely something that brings a lot of people to oracle cards and divination decks in general, is the ability to kind of foresee or control what's going to happen, to somehow get certainty on uncertainty. So I think that the fortune telling aspect is definitely there, and it probably will always be there, the lore of knowing what is going to be held in the future. I think that as long as you are open to the future being mutable and what the oracle card's telling you may be different than what you expect to hear, then it's completely fine to use them for fortune telling. It's just knowing that the future is not always linear, and sometimes it's a little bit cyclical. So knowing that going into an oracle card reading, that you may kind of have a question over here, but then the oracle card reading wants to address this topic over here, and understanding that anything that's addressed, you know, on the right-hand side or in the right hemisphere is always kind of picked up in the left hemisphere, that topics can dovetail together, having an open mind, that'll help you use oracle cards, you know, with a little bit more lightness in your heart, you know, a little bit more joy and a little bit more like, a willingness to be surprised or willingness to hear the unexpected, even if you're doing, whether you're getting a reading from somebody else or for yourself. I think it's important to allow yourself to be surprised, especially with oracle cards, because even when I've done mini pulls myself, there have been times where I expect the cards to say one thing and they say something completely different. So knowing that if you're looking for an outside opinion, even from a deck of cards, that the future is, you know, is mutable, and that it sometimes looks different, you know, from other perspectives, and knowing that you're going to a card deck to hear that other perspective, being open to it, I think is helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. To go into any of this, being open and curious. And I think any time that we're working with spirit, you know, they often can see a higher perspective than we can. And so to be open to that, because they really do have our backs and want the best for us. And so, you know, like a loving, doting parent, they want to give us what's best for us. So do you want to dive into how listeners can use oracle an oracle card deck? And you talked about earlier about self-development. So how can we use the oracle deck doing a mini card pull for self-development?
Sure. So one of the things I recommend is if you are, you know, new to oracle cards, you can use a digital card reader. Colette, I think Baron Reed has a really nice one. I think Diana Cooper has a really nice one. You can also use a physical card deck. I suggest using a card deck that that the images are really just enchant you, that you just feel drawn to the imagery. When you feel drawn to the imagery, you can usually connect with the symbolism of those images a little more and you'll get a better reading. So when you're doing an oracle card deck reading, you want to choose a deck. I have one here that I'm showing on the screen called the Energy Oracle Cards by Sandra Ann Taylor. You want to choose one deck that works for you, a digital one or a physical one that the imagery you connect with. Then going to the deck, you know, with a question or an intention, something you want to know. A lot of times we go to the divine, to spirit, to oracle cards, to a lot of divination practices with an area where we feel stuck, you know, whichever one that is, home, family, career, money, purpose, health, whichever area that is. And I like to go to the oracle card decks to ask, you know, what can I do to move closer to joy? What can I do to move closer to love? What can I do to move closer to abundance? Because any area that you feel stuck, you really want to be feeling abundance, joy, bliss, you know, however that other area shakes out, you know, you really are looking for a feeling or an experience that's positive. So I like to go to the oracle card decks, like, how can I feel a positive emotion in this area? So starting with a question or an intention, one thing you want to know. Mm-hmm. Then you want to open your card deck, you know, and if you have a digital reader, you want to kind of decide which card deck you want to use. And you want to choose between one and three cards. You can choose two cards. But one and three cards is one or three cards is a pretty common ratio. One card is a one card reading or one card pull is a great way to start a day. It's a great way to start a business meeting, you know, before you hop on a Zoom call, you know, to set an intention. It's a great way to start getting ready for an event or anything where you kind of want to have all the guidance at your fingertips to do your best. So for a one card reading, what you want to do is try to center your emotions, ground by placing your feet flat on the floor or just stepping out in nature for a few minutes if you possibly can. Then you want to shuffle your cards, take them out of the box if you have a physical box. Shuffle your cards. And I like to take three deep breaths as I'm shuffling. Any way you want to shuffle your cards that you can. Some people like to spread them out on a table. Some people like to shuffle them like poker cards, bending them, you know, on either side. Some people like to put them in one hand and then shuffle with the other. You take three deep breaths. And I usually say, wait until you hear the word stop or you feel, you know, clairsentiently. You just feel it's time to stop. It's time to stop. And then that's when you want to pull your card. When you're shuffling, you may also want to say your question again or your intention. Move closer to joy more. Move closer to bliss in this area, whichever area or topic you're focusing on. And then you pull your card. You gaze upon the image, whatever the image is that comes forward. I like to pull right from the top of the deck. Some people like to pull from the bottom of the deck. I'm holding a card up that says appreciation, which is a woman with a rose bush there. For a one card reading, I recommend pulling from the top of the deck, you know, whichever card you have, gazing at the image, seeing what you notice, what you feel at the image as your answer, and then looking at the book for extra guidance if you need it. The book is really there to expand upon anything you're already getting. So I like to use it almost as a backup. Also, I like to let your intuition work with the card or work with the interpretation first. And then going to the book can help give you some validation. You may already be receiving what the book says. So the book can be a great way to double check the interpretation that you get from the card itself. Mm-hmm. So there's a mini pull with a one card reading. That's basically how you do it. Then when you pull your card, what I like to do is if you're working from home or you are going to be staying in the areas, I like to put the card up somewhere where I'm going to be able to gaze upon it or look at it for the rest of the day, just so that I can hold that intent, hold that image, hold that answer there for me to go back to.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I like the, you know, the pulling one card is like you said, very helpful for beginning of the day. I actually did a one card poll before starting the show today. And it was interesting. I used the time to look at the image and kind of interpret what it meant to me before going and reading what the book had to say about it. But I know I've experienced different ways of doing the poll. And I do like the idea of, you mentioned shuffling until you kind of either sense or hear like stop. And I know for me, I tend to sense things. But sometimes when I've done pulls, I've done different ways where I drop the deck into three stacks, and then I might pull a card off the top of it. That's one way. Another time, other ways, I literally just fan the cards out, and then intuitively, whatever card like draws my attention, I'll pull that. Or sometimes I may hold the deck in my hand and kind of feel through it and pull the card that draws my attention. Those are different ways that I've used it.
Both of those are great ways to do it, you know, and especially with the dropping the three piles, I've seen that in historical directions on how to use Oracle card decks, the directions going back like 80 years or so to put them in the three piles. The fanning one too is also a great way to do it, you know, and it's, you know, that's the way I do it if I'm asking somebody else to pull a card, because I will fan it and just say, choose which one comes forward. It's a great way to do it, you know, especially if you're working with a Oracle card deck that's a little bit larger and you have more petite hands. Fanning it out on a desk is a way that you can ensure that the cards don't accidentally drop or fumble, you know, and you can make sure that you're getting really the cards that are meant to come out.
Right. So you mentioned one card reading. Do you want to talk at all about if you do a three card pull?
Three card readings are great. I do them for a couple of reasons. Start of the week, you can do almost a forecast. And this is for the people who like future readings. You can do a beginning of the week card or beginning of the week focus, midweek focus, end of week focus. Typically with three card readings, when you pull three cards, it's the same way as a one card reading. You take your decks out, or you take your one deck out, you have a question or intention, and then you ask to pull three cards. And you wait until you hear stop, or you wait until you sense that it's time to stop or that the cards are ready. Typically, people will get a sense that it's time and the cards are ready. You can pull three right off the top. Some people like to pull one, shuffle again, pull another, shuffle again, pull another, shuffle again. And typically, you read the cards from left to right, and the left is the past, the middle is the present, and the third one is the future. You can also do a three-card reading, and this is one of the ways I use it a lot, is if you're trying to heal an issue or you're trying to get over an obstacle, whether it's an actual obstacle or a mental obstacle or emotional obstacle, or you're trying to move beyond something. Three card readings can be great to understand why something happened, you know, what I can do now in the present to focus and, you know, where things are going to move forward. So I like to do three card readings almost as a reflective approach, where instead of doing the past, the present, the future for the three cards, you do kind of why did this happen so you can understand it, you know, what can I focus on in the present to bring joy? And then where is this going in the future, you know, to bring comfort or to kind of get that foresight that we're often looking for in a card reading. The answer that it's going to be okay, and then this is the way that it's going to be okay. So a three card reading, you would just shuffle, same as the one card reading, clear your emotions, clear your energy. Just going outside and listening to the birds sing is a great way to clear your energy. And for the past card, all the way to the left, it can be, what do I need to do to heal? And then for a middle card, it can be, what do I need to know about the current present moment situation? And then for a final card, it can be, where is this going? Or what can I focus on in the present? I know that there are a lot of different ways to do them, the three card readings, but my favorite is, why did this happen? What can I do, you know, in the present to move closer to joy? And then where is this going in the future? Or a forecast type of reading. What's it going to be like in the beginning of the week? What do I need to be aware of in the middle of the week? What do I need to be aware of at the end of the week? And that's, those are two different ways you can ask questions in a three card reading. If you're working on a relationship issue, I like to do a three card reading where the past card is the other person, the middle card is the relationship, and then the final card is you. So, or the card all the way to the right is you, the card all the way to the left is the other person, the middle card is the relationship.
Oh, that's great.
So those are three different ways to do a three card, like, mini reading. Mm-hmm. Typically, it takes about 15 minutes to interpret a mini card reading that you do for yourself. If you really look at the images, and if you want to condense it, you can take just, you know, a minute or two, a minute and a half to look at each card. And then it's a 5-minute practice, you know, that you can do at the start of the day. Some people like to do them at the end of the day as they're winding down.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. I've heard about the past, present, future, but not about the healing way or the relationship way that you talked about. I think those would be real, a lot of fun to try. One of the things that you and I had talked about it on another day was about how often we may use the deck and, like, repetitively asking the same thing. Do you want to address that with people? Some of the things that to just be aware of.
Yeah. So with card decks, if you are pulling or getting a lot of reversals in your cards, it's a great time to kind of take a rest, rejuvenate, step away, come back, and try card reading on another day. Typically, reversals are protection energy or energy that's blocked. And it could be your energy. It could be the energy of the situation. But reversals, I tend to say, okay, step away and take a break. With card readings, I usually recommend doing no more than 3 a day. And that's an ancient recommendation. That's one of the, like, old fortune telling recommendations, is no more than 3 a day, typically because they start to say the same things, or you will notice that the same cards, no matter how many times you shuffle, will start to come out. So you'll start to notice that you're getting a few of the same messages. That, what I always like to say is, the energy doesn't change that much in a day. So you want to give yourself a break if you are kind of feeling stuck, or if you want to come back to the cards on another day because you keep pulling the same things. Just know that it's normal. Like, the card decks and the card readings are oftentimes guided by your higher self and spirit. So oftentimes what will happen is there's the one message you need to listen to and pay attention to it.
Yeah. And I think it's that part of the, we may get what we need, not necessarily what we want. And so important to pay attention to that and to not ask the same question repetitively. I know I shared a story with you where I did that when I first got my deck. I shuffled and everything, got a card, and I thought, well, I'm going to ask again. So I reshuffled many times and I pulled out of a 78 card deck, got the same card the second time. So it's like, okay, yeah, don't, like, keep asking the same thing. And then something I didn't mention earlier, but when we talked about the fortune telling aspect of it, you know, we have free will. And so, you know, we may get a reading that says something about a future direction, but because we have free will, we can make a decision that will take us in another direction. So to rely on something as being, like, set in concrete about the future is not really the best way to go, because the future is malleable. We can change that. And then one of the things I did want to mention was, and this is the way I often use the cards with people, is that those images can help bring things from the subconscious to the conscious level. They may be underlying root causes of issues, blocks, whatever we have. And so it's a real gift to be able to bring that to the conscious level so that we can work on it and heal it. And I imagine that you've also had that experience, Amanda, in working with people with the cards.
Yeah, when you work with oracle card decks, or when you ask questions to the divine, I know there's stories from the Buddha that says the reason why we suffer is not always the reason why we think that we suffer. And with oracle card decks, oftentimes you'll ask one question and then it'll bring up another issue that is related to that question. And It may solve things or, you know, heal things on a greater level beyond that question. So I think it also goes back to just knowing that, being open to what you get and knowing that spirit is looking out for you, and the oracle card decks are really just a reflection of what comes through from spirit. And knowing that sometimes the questions we ask, you know, it can lead us to greater things.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And that's a great segue to our ending the show today. Unfortunately, we could talk for another couple of hours on this, but I definitely want to thank you very much, Amanda, for being with us today and sharing your passion and your knowledge of how to use Oracle cards as a tool to help us connect with our intuition and spirit. And thank you for sharing how to do a mini card pull. I think people are going to find that very helpful on their path to learning how to use these. So thank you very much, Amanda, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Carrie, and thank you for listening.
Great. I want to thank all the fabulous listeners who've tuned in today with open, curious, and receptive minds, eager to awaken to their own personal evolution. Please join me for my next show on February 24th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. We'll continue on the theme of Spirit Speaks, exploring modalities, tools, and tips for connecting us to our divine spirit guidance to assist us in the pursuit of our individual and collective evolution. I'll see you back here next time. And until then, I wish you peace and good health.
You've been listening to A Spirited Exchange Radio with me, Carrie Gadombi, for Evolution of the Modern Mind. Tune in live every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Together we will awaken, heal, and connect to live our greatest potential. For more information or to connect with me, visit TheDivineGuidanceGift.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.